Yes, you're wrong. The podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. We're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And we recorded our Emilia Perez episode a day too soon. Gosh darn it. Yeah.
But we kind of like, we were prepped, you know? It was like everything we said was somehow validated in this terrible turn of events. If I take a positive spin on it, I mean, I feel like you take a positive spin on things.
It's not great. It's fun for me when that happens.
I'm the one who dug up the tweets. I just knew there was something rotting, and I sussed it out. And you're welcome. Just kidding. No, all credit to the actual reporter who did find the tweets. But yeah, why don't you give us a summary?
Okay. So, as you know, we recorded our episode last week about Emilia Perez. Neither of us really liked it for a whole bunch of different reasons.
Yeah.
None of those reasons being that one of the members of the cast was a raging bigot. However, as it turned out, there's always one. There's always one. You would think, I mean, okay, let me just set all the details before before I start giving my takes on this. So a journalist, I guess, Sophia Gascon is the lead of the film. Mm-hmm. She is trans. She is originally from Spain,
I think.
Spain, yeah. But then moved to Mexico, or moved to France. I can't remember. Anyways, she sort of
one in the same in the universe of Emilia Perez. Right. Yes,
she France, Spain. You know, whatever. Yeah. Is it Spanish? Is it cake? Unclear. but she. So obviously, a lot of people don't like Emilia Perez. There's been all of these scandals regarding various other movies in the Best Picture race that are sort of largely irrelevant. Like, there wasn't an intimacy coordinator on Anora. There was some AI used in The Brutalist, like sort of smaller things. Somehow or another, nobody at Netflix bothered to check whether their star had a history of tweeting defamatory things, perhaps because all of her tweets were in Spanish.
Yeah, exactly.
But on Twitter, there's like a button that says translate, and then translate this tweet for you. So this journalist went and found a bunch of tweets from Carla Sofia Gascon, like not from a long time ago, like between 2019 and 2023, just a number of bigoted statements. And then, of course, once that got out there, then people started going back through all of her tweets and just found tons and tons and tons of like horrible things about every possible group that you can think of, about immigrants, about Hispanic people, about Asian people, about gay
people,
about the Oscars, about Selena Gomez, her co-star, calling her a rat in one tweet.
Well, I do want to say that some of these have come out since she deactivated her Twitter, and so we cannot verify like the reality of some of them, right? Because it's pretty easy to doctor.
I guess that's true.
The Selena Gomez one, she explicitly says she didn't write, and I'm also like, that came out so like, that's like one of the last rounds of it. But the earlier stuff like has all been verified about the Oscars are like a Afro-Korean festival now, or
there's one that's like Hitler's not that bad. Yeah. which
more like Hitler really just like pontificating in the weirdest, like not thought out way and putting it out into the world because people just don't think, I don't know.
And I read an article there was an interview of the woman who found these tweets, and she's like, yeah, like I just searched her name in Hitler and, you know, this came up. So it's like, because Hitler is obviously the same in Spanish as it is in English. So like not hard to find.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there's all these tweets. Then she released a statement that was like a kind of an apology, but not like really taking it was a very bizarre, I think, response, because it basically was said that it was an apology, but then it took responsibility for nothing and sort of said, I've always been a good person. I've never been a bigot. And it's like, well, there's all these tweets from very recently that said you did. And she gets to be like, nope, people are trying to take me down. Like I have always, and she said, I have always put like trying to put light instead of the darkness or something, which mm-hmm. people were like, I would not have used light and darkness in my apology if I was being accused of racism. But mm-hmm. She released a statement. Obviously that didn't go well. More tweets came out. She deactivated her Twitter. She released another statement, bad. Now she released an Instagram post today, also bad. It's like none of it's apologizing. Well,
and she did like an hour video with CNN.
Oh, yes.
In Mexico, I think. And it was such a shit show. Like, honestly, you feel like we've been through these enough that people should know how to handle them. And it's really like the quieter you are, the better it is. Like, do your initial apology and then say you're doing the work. Like, even if you're not doing the work, that's the way to go, right? But this doubling down and like really spewing more content for people to analyze and chew you out over. She was just like on this diatribe where she's like, oh, you know, just like rambling this sort of weird self-defense and baffling like excuses, where at one point she's like, I'm so kind, I literally refuse to kill spiders in my own home.
And oh, like, yes.
And then at one point she like paralleled her current predicament to how Black people must have felt in the Jim Crow South of like, oh, my identity is being thrown off. I feel like I'm being thrown off buses because of my identity, and people just hate me for simply existing, and that's how I'm being hated in this moment. And yeah, and my favorite is she posted, the most recent I saw was, anyone who knows me knows that I am not a racist. And then a parenthetical, you will be surprised when you find out that one of my most important people in my current life and that I love the most is Muslim.
A classic, my Muslim friend.
So it's all good, everyone. She's really cool and not a racist or violent bone in her body. And she's really chill and taking this in stride as an opportunity to apologize to the harmed parties and not make it about herself at all.
Yeah, the whole thing is just, it's shocking because, I mean, one, you would like to think that somebody from a minority group would, you know, having known the difficulties of that, especially a trans person, would not be like bashing on other people. But yeah, also just the fact that she's in this massive awards movie. These campaigns cost millions of dollars to run. We've seen campaigns get tanked before by controversies like this, by tweets and things. So you'd think that these PR people would be, you know, doing some sort of at least initial vetting of like, you know, okay, like let's like look let's at the tweet that this Hitler. Person has. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that we've seen people have issues with stuff that was sort of before the Me Too movement or before Black Lives Matter that they tweeted, and now they're sort of like, oh, I'm more educated. I feel like I can't really remember somebody who has been taken down from like tweets that were after that who's not like sort of a Republican person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's crazy that like these are tweets that you would think that someone tweeted back in like 2013, but it's like, no, they're from like 2 years ago. Yeah. And yeah, just wild. So now Emilia Perez got the most Oscar nominations. obviously, like, Carla Sofia Gascón is not winning this Oscar, but it sort of is now a question, because Oscar voting has not yet opened. All of this came out before Oscar voting happened. Like, is anyone going to vote for this movie at all? Not to mention all the other reasons why people didn't like it. Will Zoe Saldana, who is sort of the front runner in Best Supporting Actress, still win? Or is she kind of tanked? She released a statement that was sort of was sad. That said, like, oh, I'm so sad, like, blah, 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 blah. Also, I saw that Netflix has already rolled out For Your Consideration ads that don't have Carla's name on it or picture on it. Like, they've completely removed her, which it's like, okay, fair, she is a bad person, but also it's like the whole movie's about this trans person, and now it's like, yeah, no trans person in the... really just when you think things are, you know, when we were like, oh, well, at least a trans person is nominated for an Oscar, it's like, oh, well, it's the worst trans person since Caitlyn Jenner. Like, just a disaster of a human being.
Don't tell her that, though, because she's not responsible for hunger and wars in the world, okay?
Well,
that's
yes.
According to her latest statement to the Hollywood Reporter.
I don't necessarily want to wade into like gender dynamics or whatever, but I did see some trans people online who were sort of like, oh, this isn't as surprising to us as you would think that it would be, because sort of, you know, late in life transitioning people, like, I think she's only transitioned like a few years ago, it's like they spend a lot of their time living at, you know, at presenting as like straight men who obviously have a certain level of privilege in the world, and then sort of once that switches over, you know, it's like you don't really unlearn those 40-50 years, however much you have. So they were like, yeah, like, You'd think that with trans people there'd be sort of less bigotry because of what they've had to go through, but sometimes you've like inadvertently picked up negative attributes from like the privilege that you had prior to that, which I thought was
she's far from the first woman to ever side with the patriarchy or white supremacy, right? Like, it's right. Just a across the board issue all in all ways, but you would think there would be some PR crisis management going a little better than this. Which, speaking of, Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively.
Oh, yes. Yes. Update us.
Yes. So over the weekend, Justin Baldoni's team, who's been very aggressive in leaking things and revealing things, announced that they were going to build a website that shows the entirety of their text and every single video. And it would just highlight every single moment in time in the production, blah, 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 blah. And also they're like, see, look at this video, this text Ryan Reynolds sent that said thank you to Justin, and look at how, you know, just the same sort of thing. And so Blake Lively's team was like, listen, you can't just like post all this stuff like outside of the court. It will sway. It's like, you know, tainting the jury pool. And so they went to court to kind of like suss out what they need to do. And the judge agreed. The judge was like, okay, yeah, you can't, like, you guys are basically both have a gag order in the public sphere. Like, you cannot just start releasing things to the public because it will affect this jury case. And if you guys continue to play this way, then I'm going to move the trial up. Like, if you're trying to litigate this in the press, like, it's all, that's done, that's over, which is probably obviously good for Blake. And also, I think telling yet again that Justin Baldoni's team is very aggressive, very, very good at skewing public perception, because the sheer amount of oversharing they're doing to just let things, you know, like the Khaleesi tweet rise to the surface or whatever, without ever having to actually address the main issues of Blake's case. And so the judge also said that this sort of like the way that Baldoni's team introduced the suit might draw into question some of these later things he's shared, and so they might have to get that like struck, like, so it might not be part of the case. And so it's just messy, and another reminder to just look out for those red flags and maybe watch out for anyone who's like, oh yeah, full transparency, truth telling, I believe women except when they attack me, blah 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 blah. So hopefully now there's a chance that you could be on this court case in New York.
Is it
maybe
in New York?
Yeah.
It's a New York trial. Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I did unfortunately get a jury summons last year, so I feel like that I'm sort of unlikely to get this again. But yeah, you know, I feel like that there's so many differences between, like, oh, is it a civil case? Is it a criminal? Yeah. Like, I could qualify. I don't appreciate that in the year of our Lord 2025, we are all expected to have law degrees. I feel like between this case and also everything going on with Trump and the executive orders and things, it's like, I didn't go to school for this. Yeah. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be worried about, slash what will obviously be struck down by the Constitution. I don't know what, like, who's getting gag orders, when people are getting gag orders. It's just like, like, this is too much effort. I can't be doing this. I have other things to be focused on aside from legal minutiae.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Ugh. I mean, hopefully this is the end of the Baldoni thing for a little bit, but
well, I mean, whenever they go to trial, we can only hope it's the second coming of the Gwyneth Paltrow ski trial. I did lose a day of skiing. Iconic, a classic. Okay, we've now gone 16 minutes into this podcast without talking about the most important thing to discuss, which is the Grammys, which were last night. You were not watching, but I was covering for work. I honestly think that these might have been the best, or this might have been the best award show that I've ever seen. Like,
oh yeah, I think
really,
I mean, yeah,
shot for shot, like, it was incredible. The ceremony went over 4 hours, so it was very long. And there was definitely some bits, Will Smith, that they could have trimmed out. But, like, the nominees were fun. The performances were great. You had Doechii. You had Sabrina Carpenter, Chapel Rowan, Billie Eilish, Chapel Rowan, whatever. Billie Eilish. You had a Lady Gaga a commercial music video halfway through. The winners were, like, interesting. It was a nice, like, mix of them. I wish that they had given us one of Charlie XCX's wins on the televised show, because I think it would have been fun to watch her give a speech. But, like, Chapel got to give a speech, Sabrina Carpenter, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Doechii, Miley Cyrus was up there presenting at one point. Like, everything was just so fun and well done. And the speeches were great too. Like people were calling out immigration reform. People were calling out, the, you know, praising trans people. Like, people were talking about current things. People were emotional. People were happy. People were crying. They won these awards. I don't really care about Kendrick Lamar, but it was sort of fun that he won for the song that is in the beef with Drake. I was like, okay, like, this is a little saucy in a way that I am intrigued by. Janelle Monáe did a Michael Jackson tribute, which I was like, okay, don't need Michael Jackson, but that was fun. Like, some random man I had never seen before, like, got his clothes ripped off by Heidi Klum and then performed on stage in, like, a sequin jumpsuit, but apparently isn't gay. Like, there was a lot going on, and it was a good vibe that kept rolling.
That's only for gay men. Is that the note?
If you, I mean, I guess in the age of Harry Styles, who knows? But if, like, if you saw some random man, like, gyrating on stage in, like, a sequined, light blue, skin-tight jumpsuit.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is a gay man. And then I'm like, how come I've never heard of him? Oh, because he's not a gay man. Straight.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, yeah, I mean, sexuality is a spectrum. Are we forcing everyone to come out? Isn't coming out just acknowledging the prioritization of straightness? Like, you know, there's some interesting questions there for sure.
Okay, calm down. Unless you'd like to come out.
Yeah. Well, if I wear a sequin suit, now you'll know. That'll be my telltale sign.
Well, I don't think it works the same way for women, but oh, you know,
yeah, that's fair.
You would have to wear a sort of Billie Eilish outfit, which I would find entertaining.
Speaking of wearing stuff, though, I do want to talk about the Taylor Swift of it all.
Oh, which yes, is really of course. Just, she was also there.
She was also there. I think the Grammys give winners a heads up. I really do, in general. I think at least they kind of whisper down the line, like, okay, yeah, you'll have this big moment. Maybe not. But maybe when you're like Taylor Swift, Beyonce level, they're like, okay, Taylor, you're not going to win, but like, please come and do this, present this award. Well,
I think that with the Grammy, like, I think that the big four awards that they don't tell people about, like, I don't think that people knew who were winning, like, best record, best album, that kind of thing. Yeah. However, there are like 900 Grammys, and in the minor category, the smaller categories, they sort of shuffle around which ones that they present on the telecast. And so I definitely think there's sort of some shenanigans of like, please come, and then sort of like scheduling around that to a certain degree. Because like, there was a point where they were like, like best Latin something or another, and I was like, huh, like what, like this seems sort of like a random category to be like giving out on air. And then it was like, oh, but Shakira is one of the nominees, so like, oh, actually this does make sense because Shakira's here, she's going to be performing in a bit, so like yeah, we'll give her the award that she's going to get on stage. Where, you know, it wasn't like they were giving out all of the like Latin pop awards. They just happened to pick the one that Shakira was given, that Shakira is also there. And it's like the award that Sabrina Carpenter won, I also think was sort of similar of like, okay, this sort of seems like an odd one that we're giving out, but you know, or like Beyonce wins best country album. It's like they didn't announce any of the other country awards, and they didn't announce all the other album awards, but they did announce that one. So there's definitely some shenanigans of like reading the room. But Taylor was there as a presenter, and you know, the presenters make a pretty penny. Also, Taylor was just like, I think Taylor just likes to go to these things and get plastered, because there was like multiple crowd shots of her like dancing around with a champagne bottle in her hand. She had a glass in her hand in every single shot that I saw.
Yeah, but I
like
really
she
don't
was just vibing. I love.
I think that's just her vibe at these.
I'm like, this
shows.
Is my favorite version of Taylor. Yeah. I'm just like sort of tipsy, wearing Janelle Monáe's jacket after she takes it off, like jumping up and down and screaming for like really no apparent reason sometimes. It's like, great, love this.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. But yeah, no, she seemed to have a good time, and I'm glad she didn't win anything, just because I can't handle the think pieces that would come out of it.
Yes.
But I did like the sort of parallelism of having her present to Beyonce, and then get, you know, getting, because that's what happened when in the infamous VMAs.
Yes.
But her outfit, it's just, I have so many thoughts on it, and I know it doesn't matter. And I'm really like, I thought all the performances were great. And like you said, all the speeches were great. And so this is just like small potatoes, but I'm fascinated by one. She looked great, which is very rare for me to say, but I think it was an excellent dress. It highlighted like everything that she should be highlighting, legs or days, all of the above. And I didn't mind the color, but I do think, you know, it's just so tied up in the Chiefs red, like her boyfriend's team's color. And then to have the T chain dripping down her thigh, which I liked, but I'm also like, this is so high school, right? Like, and I think that's kind of the point. Like, I think Taylor loves to be like, she likes to be someone's girlfriend. She likes to be someone's partner, and she likes she loves love, and that's great for her. But it was fascinating that like on this night where she is nominated and she could have potentially gone up there to like win an award or like, you know, break some other record, she's like trotting around in this, in this boyfriend dedicated outfit. And I find it all so fascinating, and like her style evolution and kind of how she takes on the boyfriend's like style or I don't know, just kind of the showing off of the romance, and like she's excited about it, and you know, that's fine. It seems a little bit crazy for a 35-year-old, but that's okay. I'm glad she had a better look.
I mean, yes, the outfit was definitely better than she has worn in the past. I think a lot of that was just due to the simplicity of it. Like, it was a red sort of any kind of bland dress. Like, there wasn't that much that she could have done wrong with it. It looked good on her, and obviously red is a color that works for her. She's known that since the beginning of her career. So I think that this was a smart choice rather than, as she's done lately, of sort of like go for bolder things that are bad. You know, like all celebrities, I think she has a little bit of that, like, stuck in the age when you became famous middle schooler energy. And I think she's always going to be a little bit like she's 15. And, you know, she wants to wear her boyfriend's, like, Letterman jacket around the school and have people say that she's cool. And also, she just is, I think, a relationship person. You know, it's like we all have had those friends who just, for whatever reason, are... it's impossible for them to be single. Like, I have a friend who, it's like he broke up with his boyfriend and then he started hooking up with this guy. And the guy is like still in college, mind you. Like, this is like a 27-year-old who's hooking up with like a 21-year-old. And he was telling me about how the person was annoying and how he didn't really like him that much. And I was like, my friend is a relationship person. I'm like, if he does not cut this off soon, he will end up in a relationship with this person solely because the person is there and he likes to be in relationships. And lo and behold, now they are. So it's kind of like, you know, there's just, well, it's like, I mean, he's not listening to this podcast, I'm sure. But it's like, you know, there's just, and I think I've already said this to his face, but it's like, there's just some people who have that energy. It's like, if Taylor Swift is single and you send her to the Met Gala, like, she's coming out with somebody. You know what I mean? Like, she's not getting through that whole thing without finding another person. It sort of doesn't matter who they are. Like, her boyfriends have been such a vast swath of individuals that it's like, there's not a type, there's not a whatever. She's like, just, she likes being with somebody. And so I don't think it's that. And she also loves an Easter egg. So it's not like crazy that she's trying to sneak hidden messages up into her outfit. Yeah. But yeah, it is like a little bit cringy, I guess. I don't know. And as far as Taylor Swift's cringe goes, like, I don't think this is the worst offender. I feel like this night was one of her better nights, in my opinion, as of late. It's like, she was in the crowd. Wow, she was bebopping around. She was cheering for people. Yeah. She didn't look ugly. Like, it was, you know, she's like, she sort of did the best that she, I think, can do.
Yeah, you're proud of her. I love that. Similarly, fashion-related, Kanye West.
Oh, yes.
Did you have any hot takes? I mean...
well, because Kanye showed up on the... this was... so I was covering the Grammys for work. And Kanye and Bianca Censori, his girlfriend...
Wife,
showed up. She was wearing like basic, she was wearing a jacket, but then she took the jacket off and it was basically like a clear dress.
It's called a totally see-through custom couture dress.
Yeah. Like, you could
see. It's like a nylon stocking.
Yeah. You could see everything. And so she was on the red carpet with him, blah, blah, blah. And then this Instagram goes up that's like, oh, Kanye and Bianca have been like removed from the premise. They weren't actually invited. And so that was sort of going around, but then that story got taken down and we were like, did they get removed? Did they just leave? Like, are they still there? Was this true? So then we're trying to like hunt around, find online if there's any sort of verification of what happened. Apparently they had been invited to the red carpet line, but not to the ceremony, I guess. And so, yeah, so they were there and then they were not there, but it was sort of poetic.
Jay-Z announced today that they were invited to the ceremony, but Kanye just did his thing and left type thing.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, it was just like, it's annoying because it's Kanye, first of all. And so everything he does will always be tainted. But like, to make your partner like do this nude catwalk. I don't know. It's hard to say if she was comfortable with it, if she wanted it, blah, blah, blah. Women have their autonomy. But I think he just has a proven track record of like humiliating women for sport. And I think too, like the history of him sort of telling off Kim for being too sexy and being like, I don't want my wife to be showing this all off, to then turn around and have this like second wife who he hasn't really been. I mean, they just don't have like the most publicly likely, like likable relationship. And so it just feels like manipulative and kind of gross. And then, yeah, just watching the reactions on the red carpet, like it wasn't like shock and awe. It was just shock. Like everyone just kind of like just froze. Like no one knew what to do. Just like full nudity that will live forever on the internet. I don't know. It just was icky and another reason to hate Kanye. So.
I mean, I did think she looked good. Like, I mean, well,
yeah, she has a great body. The outfit,
but I was like, whoa, okay, yeah. Like, vibes. yeah, I mean, Kanye wants a, like, wants to be a fashion and, you know, provocative and whatever, and is always coming up with weird new ways of doing that, whether that be, like, his style, things he's saying, or Kim's looks, all kinds of stuff. So, it's like, it's shocking, but at the same time, it's like not shocking. Like in a year, will I remember this? Like maybe if someone reminds me. But yeah, he's wild. Azalea Banks, another controversial star, was not at the Grammys, but was on Twitter and was like, oh, Kanye is a gay man. It's like, why is he here always pretending that he loves these women? Like he like is obsessed with fashion, just like come out of the closet and be gay. So that was her
take.
Do
you agree? Are you?
I don't know if I agree with that, but I do think that that is an interesting sentiment of like, yeah. Kanye West has all like an interesting theory of like that, like he's always been gay, but because he's sort of like in this like rapper street world, he's like not able to embrace that version of himself. And so it comes out in all sorts of strange, like mental illness. I don't know. But anyways, that's Azalea Banks, who like is a witch and once had like chicken blood in her freezer. So. Who am I to say?
Yeah, yeah. We're just reporting the news here.
Yeah. However, I did. So we have to get to the Lady Gaga music video of it all, Abracadabra, which have you watched?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Shelby, it's so good.
I'm sorry.
It's such, okay. It's such a
good
song.
Does it star Bruno Mars? Like, why are they always together?
No. So Bruno Mars and her had Die With a Smile, which is on her new record, and that's what she was nominated for. And so that's why they performed like a tribute to the wildfires on the show.
Okay, right.
But then during one of the commercial breaks, she had a MasterCard ad that was literally just her music video and then like a MasterCard sort of like title at the end of it. Okay. And the song's called Abracadabra, and it's so good. It's such a bop. It's very like art pop energy, like Venus. And the music video is great. I've seen nothing but like everybody obsessed with it online. And there's a part where she like has like, she's sort of this woman with a cane, which is also something that comes up from the Disease music video. And Azalea Banks online said, okay, Gaga, who is this lady with the cane, LMAO? She keeps making appearances and I am scared of her. What is her story, sis? Which I'm like, so true. So true. Who's the cane, Lady Gaga? We gotta know. I know there's some sort of thinking behind it. I'm intrigued. And I'm also very excited for this album because I think Disease is low-key a good song. And I really like Abracadabra. And they're both very like fun and dancey. So I think we're getting good energy, Lady Gaga, and we're not about to be tricked a la Ariana Grande, where she releases one upbeat song and then the rest of the song's album is depressing.
I forgot about Lady Gaga, so I'll give it a listen. Ugh. I just haven't trusted her to do good music. I'm sorry.
You didn't like Joker, Filet Adieu, does not mean that she's
go
bad.
Further back, yeah.
It's like, yes, has she, like, Chromatica was great. Since Chromatica, she has not necessarily delivered in a great way, but... I, you know, she had a ton of good albums, and I love Joanne.
Yeah, I'm just saying I haven't thought about her, but I'll try again.
Okay, and then lastly,
okay,
we have to discuss
okay.
Beyonce's Cowboy Carter tour, oh, which she yeah. announced
oh,
today.
God.
You famously very big fan of Cowboy Carter.
Love it.
But you're not going to go to this tour because you're going to be in Japan?
My God. No, I hope I can still go. Here's the thing. I'm gone that whole first week in LA, and that really sucks. I will be back jet lagged the 3rd, so I could potentially go to the 4th or 7th. So
okay.
send out those Ticketmaster vibes for me and mine. Yes. Thank you so much. But I also saw on her poster, she's going to Vegas, but she has not announced Vegas dates.
Yes, that is true.
So when are those coming? Do you know? Can you call her up and ask, please, as a parade spokesperson?
I'm like, and she hasn't, has she said anything about that? I'm like, gonna Google this. Beyonce, Las Vegas, Cowboy Carter. Because yeah, she also had Paris on the poster, and then Paris wasn't in the Ticketmaster, but I guess that's because Paris has a separate site that they sell.
Oh yeah, maybe
through.
That's Vegas too, because they are through, they're not but through now, Ticketmaster.
But now I'm looking, and according to NBC News, it says Beyonce appears headed to Las Vegas, but full details are still unknown. Las Vegas is missing from the list. While the city is included in the graphic poster on her social media, it does not appear that her website or tour announcement. So yeah, it does seem like she'll be there.
To be frank, it is a priority for me. And so I shall go where the winds take me. I would love for it to be conveniently located for me, but I also just recognize that getting tickets is harder and harder these days. So
sort of don't know if this structure is better or worse for me in that she's only doing a handful of cities, but she's doing more shows in the cities that she's at, which like
yeah.
makes sense. Like she doesn't have to move around as much. And one of those cities is New York. So like obviously great, but so she's doing 4 nights here. I think she only did 2 last time, if I remember correctly. So it's like double the amount of spots. But then we're also going to be competing with like Philadelphia people, people from Boston, you know, who like don't have other shows to go to. So I don't know. We'll see how this goes. There's about 4 different rollouts for these tickets. So I'm hopeful that I'll be able to snag them in one of these. But,
wait, what are the rollouts?
Well,
there's
it's
pre-sale.
Like, yeah, no, there's a whole bunch of pre-sales. It's like there is the, like the ticket. There's the, like, are you on Beyonce's email list pre-sale, which is first, which I am.
Yeah.
Then there's city pre-sale, like the city card, like if you have the city credit card. There's a Verizon pre-sale. Ugh. There is a pre-sale for Ticketmaster, and then there's just like the regular on sale date. So
yeah
there's a whole bunch of different things. I am a Verizon person, and I did get tickets through that last time, and that was the easiest. So I think that's what I'm gonna try. Like I'm gonna try all of them, but I think I feel confident that I'll be able to get something in that capacity. And I spent so much last time, it's like, is it possible that I could spend more this time? I mean, knock on wood, but I'm like, they have to be like, I have to be able to get them like somewhat cheaper. Unclear.
Yeah,
I also don't know.
Well, looking at her date lineup, the only free weekend is that May 10th weekend. She could feasibly do Vegas before going to Chicago.
I wonder if Vegas.
So I wonder if that's the Vegas
later. Date. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I know that Taylor Swift had the same thing where the Vegas date wasn't announced right away. So, like, if we hear in the next day, I imagine it'll be for that May weekend, because otherwise, she's booked through July.
Fascinating. And we don't think she'd.
So that'd be great because it's my birthday weekend. So.
Oh, okay. Well, great. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited for this.
Thank you so much.
Tour. I feel like yeah. Renaissance, like she had, it was her first big tour since COVID. It was her first big tour by herself in a while. And it was such like a dancey concert album that I think a lot of people wanted to go and were willing to shell out big bucks. Like, obviously I think there's a big market for this too, but I'm sort of wondering if there might be slightly less sort of enthusiasm, which could also be good for me. And oh, you?
I love your optimism.
I don't know. I'm hopeful.
Yeah,
I'm
I feel like this is a big deal, but maybe that's just me as someone who hasn't. Yeah.
I'm always looking through these things through the lens of like the annoying gays who live in Hell's Kitchen. And I'm like, I feel like Renaissance meant a lot to those people. I don't know if that demographic is like going to be showing up in the same way for this country album.
Right.
And
okay,
that's
true.
And I feel like you are sort of a unique outlier in somebody who didn't go to Renaissance but is very excited for Cowboy Carter. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure how big that slice of the pie is.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's true.
We shall
see. It's always such a pleasure talking to you, Matt.
What do you mean?
You really remind me to look at the glass half full. You're just so optimistic.
I was like, did I drag you and not realize it for a second?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Optimism. If you can manage to get to 95 Taylor Swift concerts where the group of people trying to get those are scarier individuals, I believe that you can get into one of these Cowboy Carter shows. Like, I have faith.
I hope so. There's less dates.
Didn't you have tickets to that thing where Taylor Swift was only doing like 5 shows?
Yes. Remember? But that was before she was peak Taylor.
I guess.
You're giving me more optimism and I'm rejecting it.
She was playing Bowery Electric and then, yeah. Okay.
We'll see.
Shall we get to Love It or Hate It?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that wasn't your Love It.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess it could be. if we need to move on.
No, we can do Love It or Hate. Let's see. Oh,
like,
yeah,
I haven't
this will
seen
be
the show
good,
yet, so.
A good tone.
It could
tonal
be bad.
Shift. Sugarcane is on Hulu.
Oh, I haven't watched this. It's one of the few Oscar noms that I have yet to watch. I'm getting to it, believe me. I'll watch it. That and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, I got left on the docket.
I don't know why you have to watch that. You really don't. I really don't think you have to. Oh, it's because it's like nominated for a technical award or something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you haven't seen any of the other ones, have you?
No. So we'll see. we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. It's unrelated, you know. It takes place.
Yeah, it's like in the future or something, right?
Yeah. But anyways, Sugarcane is a documentary nominated for an Oscar, and it follows a community in Canada after news broke of unmarked graves found at an old Indigenous person's reform school. So where they would, you know, the government and the Catholic Church would take these Indigenous children and put them into these boarding schools with the goal of making them assimilate to Western culture. And obviously very sad, very depressing. The documentarian is part of this tribe, and this community has impacted his family directly. So there's a lot around his relationship with his father and grandmother, who are survivors of this school, and the community kind of trying to put together this investigation into the unmarked graves and the old story it tells. And it was really beautiful. I thought the directing itself, like, there's a lot of beautiful images. I liked how stylized it was. And then also it just does a really wonderful job of highlighting the culture that remains, because a lot of these stories focus on what was lost, which is right and fair. And there was so much stripped from these communities, and that's just going to always be a struggle. But there's also a lot of joy in this documentary around the community and the ways it survives. And so I really liked that. And I think it was a very poignant film to watch, and it wasn't necessarily stuck in this like true crime stylized what happened, who's to blame, how do we get justice. It was more about the real human experiences and the way of processing this grief as a community. So it was very good.
Yeah, I'm very excited to watch it. I always love the Oscar nominated documentaries, other than My Octopus Teacher, because I feel like that they do pick good, really interesting things for the most part, and their stories that, yeah, it's like I don't know about. So very excited to watch that. Yeah. Perhaps more powerful and important to the culture, though, is You're Cordially Invited, the Reese Witherspoon, Will Ferrell movie that is now streaming on Amazon Prime. Some people have said this movie is bad.
Yeah. I watched this one too. Yeah.
Not funny. And yeah. I was obsessed with this. I understand that it is.
I mean, 4.5 stars.
Kooky. But like, I don't know. This just really hit my sense of humor. Like, to a T. It was so campy. Basically, the premise is Will Ferrell's daughter and Reese Witherspoon's sister are both trying to book the same wedding venue that's this island in like North Carolina or something. And after Will Ferrell calls to book the venue, the person who runs the place dies before she can write down the name. So somehow neither of them have done any communicating with the venue since. And just at both of these wedding parties show up at this island for this weekend wedding.
No, Reese did all the, necessary lineups. She had it booked and paid for.
Yes. And Geraldine Viswanathan's like young college maid of honor did not do the same. And so they all show up and it's just like the most chaotic thing. And I think one thing I really appreciated about this is a lot of times in wedding movies, we're getting very fancy weddings, very pretty weddings. This was very sort of normcore in that the one of the weddings is like a just got out of college, sort of like a hot mess, like frat party type wedding.
Type party, yeah.
Yes. And then the other is like a group of like white middle class Southern people who like really think that they are fancy, but like are very much normal. And I thought the jokes were so funny. I thought all of the side characters were great. There were so many gags. The whole thing was absolutely ridiculous, but like in the best way possible, I thought. And I found some of the moments kind of heartfelt. It really worked for me. And according to Letterboxd, that is not the case for another soul on this planet. But I will go to bat for You're Cordially Invited. Like, think it's hysterical.
I'm really happy for you. I think it really lost me once it turned into this like rom-com in the final act. I was really not needing that at all. And the like, the post-credit, like all of that just felt like tonally out of place. But yeah, it wasn't, I'm happy for you. It wasn't the worst comedy I've seen. Wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst. And I did see that Will Ferrell is doing another movie with this same director / writer that will star Zac Efron. Sign me up. Yeah. So they'll be doing a buddy comedy where I think it's like, it's gonna follow Zac Efron getting out of prison, and he goes to blame the reality TV courtroom that got him arrested in the TV show. So kooky. And also about dudes, which I think is a better starting point for this writer / director. So,
you know, what's fascinating is that I just realized that this is the guy who wrote and directed Bros, which I'm like, fascinating.
Yeah.
A movie which I did not love, but did have funny moments in it. And I did not love the sort of like shoved in romance between Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon at the last minute. Like, that I think was the worst, the weakest part of the movie.
Yeah.
And I just saw another movie recently that did that same thing where it was like a romance. Oh, the new, it's not out yet, but the action movie with Kihi Kwan and Ariana DeBose. It's like at the end they get together and you're sort of like, huh. Like,
what's the age difference there?
Honestly, not that much. It's not as much as you think it is, because Kihi Kwan is younger than he looks and Ariana DeBose is older than he looks. I did look this up, but it's still, it feels odd.
Yeah.
And there's a kissing scene at the end and you're kind of like, okay, like,
I mean, I grew up on Get Smart and that, you know, didn't raise any red flags for anyone else. So
with maybe Anne Hathaway and Steve Carell.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is their age gap?
I don't know, but it felt odd.
I feel like that is supposed to feel weird, though, now, because it's like he's so doofy and she's like a model, and then it's like it's like a Mr. Magoo kind of a thing. But anyways, yes, no, I know what you mean. It's like we've, in the 90s, we're full of like this 7-year-old man and this 30-year-old woman, like, ah, they're in love. It's like,
yeah, they're 20 years difference. So
like Richard Gere in every romance that he's ever been in, terrifying.
Yeah.
But okay, yes, Your Culture Invited, great. Speaking of another creepy romance, we will be talking about Companion on our Thursday episode. Sort of a hard movie to describe in genre terms, but it's not horror, I would say, to people. And so if you haven't seen it, you should. And we, yeah, are going to talk about it on Wednesday. Anything else, Shelby?
No, that's all.
Okay, we'll see you guys then. Bye.